This morning we're going to consider the virtue, the godly virtue of discretion. God wants us to learn, as His children, to be discreet in our words and in our actions. These virtues that we are considering, to me, they are fundamental. What it means to be a Christian. We started out with Timothy's example, where the Apostle Paul described his character as a proven character, one that's been tested and tried and found to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want that to be said of me. I want to be the kind of Christian, the kind of disciple that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to just say I love Jesus. I don't want to just say I'm a Christian. I want there to be evidence of that working power of the Holy Spirit to transform me. I know what I am naturally. I know my tendencies. I know my personality. I know all those things that would be an obstacle to me being what I should be. But I also know that I've been given the very life of Christ within me, that perfect man that cannot sin, and that the Holy Spirit has been given to reveal these things to me and then to enable me to walk in the power of these things. And so I have no excuse. You have no excuse not to be the kind of Christian God wants you to be. It's just a matter of us learning to yield to that new man that's in us, that new life that's in us. Do you desire that? Do you want to be changed? I want to become more like Christ. I want to be ready when He comes. And so we'll consider this very important. I believe that we would save ourselves and those around us a lot of trouble if we would allow the Holy Spirit to develop this virtue, godly virtue, of discretion. The definition of the English word, discreet, is one who is careful, circumspect in their speech or actions, especially to avoid causing offense or to gain some advantage. So that's the English definition of the word discreet. A synonym that we'll also consider together with this word, discretion, discreet, a synonym to that would be prudent, to be prudent. The word prudent is defined as acting with or showing care and thought for the future. It emphasizes being careful about the words that we speak and the actions that we take in the present because we foresee their impact on future consequences. That's what it means to be prudent and discreet. They're synonyms. We can use them in that way. The Bible often uses the thought of discretion and prudence interchangeably, as we'll consider several verses that use these words. And by studying both the Old and the New Testament, we're going to get a fuller understanding of this godly virtue. Remember, we're not talking about natural traits. We're talking about something that only Christians can possess and that only the Holy Spirit can develop in you. And it's always based on that foundation of wanting to know the will of God and to do the will of God and to provide the opportunity for others to know and to do the will of God. That's what these virtues are always founded on. When we look at the Hebrew and the Greek words, the various words that are translated, discretion or prudence, we begin to get that better understanding. Let's go to Titus 2 to begin our scriptural reading. Titus 2, 1 through 8. And what we'll see in this passage, as well as the other verses that we'll consider, is that God is looking for this virtue in all of His children, not just the women, not just the men, not just the children, but all who call upon the name of Jesus are to learn to be discreet in our words and in our actions. And so if we're going to be discreet, we need to know how that really plays out in the real world. What does it mean to be discreet in our day-to-day lives? So in Titus 2, we have some very practical instructions here. Beginning at verse 1, we'll read through verse 8. But as for you, speak these things which are proper for sound doctrine. So Paul is telling Titus, a young preacher, young pastor, this is what you need to tell God's people. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate. Now in the Greek, this word is the word that's often translated discreet. Temperate and discreet, it's the same thing. sound in faith. This is advice, this is counsel to old men. So they're talking to me here. Be discreet. Sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet. It's the same word that we read earlier, temperate, in the Greek. To be discreet, so this applies to old women and the younger women that they're teaching. Be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. There's that foundation. Why do we want this transformation in our life? That we might not bring reproach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is always to be our desire. We want to please the Lord. We want that proven character. Verse 6. Likewise exhort young men, there it is, to be sober-minded. Now this is actually the root word in the Greek that discreet comes from. So again, it's related. It's the same word family. So even the young men are to be sober-minded, to be discreet. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. It's a testimony, a proven character. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. What do you think? Does your testimony matter? I've known a lot of people that are very bold to say, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. And then everything else about their life says something different. They're not changed. They're not transformed. May the Lord put this burning desire in us. Lord, transform my life. And this is one of the areas in which we need to be transformed. The Greek word translated discreet, temperate, sober-minded in the passage we just read, they're all related. It has the thought of being self-controlled. You stop and think before you say something, before you do something. To be sober, to be discreet. It's to have a sound mind. And I like this definition of the Greek word. It means in one's senses, their passions and their desires, they are to be curbed by understanding the impact that they will have on future events and on others. It's to be controlled. In other words, you don't just say what pops into your mind. I know this is practical stuff here. And the Holy Spirit has convicted me a number of times when I have failed to be discreet. But I don't want to keep making those mistakes. I want to stop and think about the ramifications of what I say, how it affects others. Sometimes we think we just say what we want to because I have that right. Well, as a child of God, you don't have a right to just hurt people without stopping and thinking. Your purpose is to be an ambassador of Christ, to point them to Jesus. And we can do that with our words and with our actions. We are to curb our passions. Some of us are very passionate about a lot of things. We can be very emotional, and just when something is said or something is done and it's contrary to our passion, we're going to say what we need to say. That's not always what glorifies the Lord. Now, there are times when you have to defend things, especially when we're talking about the Word of God. But even in those cases, we need to stop and think about our motive. Why do we want to express our passion? Is it to defend ourselves and to show how right we are? Or is it really to give someone an opportunity to know Jesus, first for salvation or in a deeper way? If we will learn to be discreet with our words and our actions, we'll save ourselves a lot of pain. Have you ever said something just popped in your mind and then you regretted it because of all the hurt and sorrow that you caused for others and then for yourself? I think we've all been there, haven't we? I know I have. God wants to change us. He wants to develop this in our life. Do you take time to ask for direction and guidance to respond to certain things in certain conversations? I know as a pastor, the Lord's impressed upon me in my counseling, you listen to what people have to say. Even when sometimes they're saying things that you know are absolutely wrong. You don't just stop and correct them unless the Holy Spirit leads otherwise. But listen and listen and listen. And then, oftentimes when I'm listening and sometimes my passion is beginning to boil, I have to stop and say, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? What's going to help this individual get back on the right track? Because it's a train wreck right now. How do you want me to respond? In a way that glorifies you and that actually helps this individual. Not that just gets my point across, but that truly is going to help that individual. That's what discretion is. And it doesn't come, at least not in my case. It's not automatic. It's not an automatic response. It's when I have to stop and think, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Let's go to Proverbs 10, verses 18 to 21. Anybody relating to this at all, or is this just my experience here? Yeah? Okay. Just wanted to make sure we're still on the same planet here. Proverbs 10, verses 18 to 21. A good place for us to start with discretion is to consider the sheer volume of our words. So again, I'm not talking about personalities here. I'm talking about scriptural boundaries. And so Proverbs 10, verses 18 to 21 says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The word wise there means to be prudent, or to consider, or to ponder with insight. That's what the Hebrew word means there, to be wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of wisdom. So in the multitude of words, if you talk a lot just to hear yourself talk, be careful. There's going to be more opportunity for you to say what you shouldn't say. It's just a practical statement and reality that we have even outlined for us in Scripture. I knew a man who told me, well, I can't help it, Doug. It's hereditary. My mom was very outspoken. She talked a lot. My sisters talk a lot. It's just who I am. Well, I'm sorry. That doesn't make it. Who are you in Christ? We can overcome those things if we will look to him for wisdom. James 3 and verse 2. James chapter 3 and verse 2. Stop and ponder before you speak or do. James 3, 2. Especially when your passions are involved. Especially when you are stirred emotionally. More than ever, you need to call upon the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom what to say and how to say it. James 3, 2. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Well, that's kind of discouraging because it says we all fail. And we do, don't we? And we know that we're not perfect. And we know that in this life we'll never be perfect, not sinless perfection. The Bible teaches us that. So what in the world can we gain from this? We have within us the perfect man who is able not to stumble in this area of our words and our actions. And so if we will learn to yield to the perfect man within, then we'll begin to see that transformation in our life. We'll begin to know what discretion really is. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Proverbs 2 and verse 11. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Now the Hebrew word that's translated here, discretion, means to have a thought or a purpose. If you have a thought or a purpose, and that purpose is to please the Lord and to point others to Christ, that's going to curb what you say and how you say it. When you stop and think about what the will of God is in this situation, it's going to change how you talk and how you respond to people and things. And again, you'll save yourself a lot of pain. It's protection for you, and it's protection for those around you. James chapter 1. We have so many practical truths that will change us if we will allow them. This is the power of the gospel. This is the power of the word of God. It'll change you. It's little by little and day by day. And as long as you're breathing, the Lord's still working on you. But are we letting him do that work? Are we letting him complete that work? Oftentimes when older saints come to the end of their life, and there are so many things that they have to deal with in that stage of life. And it's difficult, and it's hard to watch sometimes. And I've often prayed for those in that situation is, Lord, do a finishing work in them, a finishing work, to get them ready for eternity. I want the Lord to be doing that work in me now. But I know this is a long race, and I know he's still working on me. And that's why when I read these and I give these sermons and I read these passages, the Holy Spirit just again says, you know, we can still work on this, Doug. Still areas that we need to work on. I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God for the changes. I know what my personality is. I know what my tendencies are. And I thank God that I've seen, and I hope others have seen, how God has, little by little, changed my life. I want Christ to be seen in me. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Stop and listen. Even to those you know are completely wrong. And that's hard. Listen first. You won't know how to help them if you don't know how far off they are. Listen. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Don't let people push your buttons to the point that they push you to do and say things that don't honor the Lord. Slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Do you want to do what's right in God's sight? Well, you're not going to do it by your anger. Never. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be angry from time to time. We should be angry against those things that oppose God and his ways. They should anger us. But we should never respond in anger, because it doesn't do what's right in God's sight. The emotion of anger is not evil, but when we respond in anger, it often leads to much evil, much hurt, much harm, and destruction. We need insight to know what the will of God is. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. Proverbs 12 and verse 16. I'll let you get to those so you can see that prudence, discretion are things that God wants to work in us. Proverbs 12, 16. A fool's wrath is known at once. Why? Because they're going to tell you. A fool responds immediately by their anger. But a prudent man covers shame. Covers it by not saying that which is going to cause shame. Proverbs 19, 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. In other words, you don't have to retaliate every time somebody offends you or says something offensive. During the construction, there were a lot of things that were said as this was being built that were offensive to me. And there were times when I had to simply say, Lord, let me know what you want me to say in response. And oftentimes it was nothing until it was just the right time when the Lord gave me liberty to say something, and then it was effective. It reached the heart. May the Lord work that in us. Don't let anger dictate what you do and what you say. The overlooking of a transgression in this verse is not talking about forgiveness or ignoring sin, but simply not responding in kind, not reacting in anger. Whenever you feel the rage of anger swelling up within you, that's the time, as a child of God, just to stop and offer a quick prayer in your head. Lord, what do I need to do here? How should I respond? Another destructive impulse that is common with this flesh nature of ours is to boast in what we know. You ever talk to someone who a certain subject comes up and then you hear everything they know about that subject, whether you wanted to or not? It includes boasting even in spiritual things about what you know, just to let people know what you know. Proverbs 12:23. Pride and gossip are part of this lack of discretion. Sometimes gossip has its foundation. I know this about somebody, and I'm going to tell somebody about it. You're not discreet with what you know. Or, again, it can be some area where you are more of an expert than someone else, or at least you may think you are, and you just have to tell them what you know. But here in Proverbs 12:23, it says, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. They're going to tell you what they think they know anyway, the fool is. But a wise man, even when he knows, is discreet. There's a time to share that knowledge. There's a way to share that knowledge. But it should never be because of pride. It should be in order to honor the Lord, to actually benefit someone in a way that gives them an opportunity to know God. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul was well educated. He knew a lot of things about a lot of things. And he says in 1 Corinthians 2, 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." Now, it's not because he couldn't use excellent speech, but he spoke in such a way to communicate to those that were listening, whatever his audience was, whether it was Jewish or Gentile. He wasn't there to impress them with his oratory. "For he determined," verse 2, "for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now think about that. With all of his education, he could have really put on a show. But all he wanted them to know about what he knew, "I know Jesus, and I want you to know him too. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling," not in arrogance. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God to save you and to change you and to transform you." That's what he wanted them to know, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Is that what you want people to know about you and about what you know? Now again, there'll be times when your area of expertise, whatever it might be in natural things, there'll be a time for you to share that in a way that is profitable to those around you, not in a way that puffs you up. Be discreet with what you know. If we want people to be impressed with who we are and what we know, we're already standing in the way of what God wants to do. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Being prudent, being discreet, means to have a little foresight, not just to go with the moment, but to think, okay, how is this going to impact in the future? What are the consequences of what I'm saying and of what I'm doing? Proverbs 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple, they pass on and are punished. It's that old saying, look before you leap. Look before you leap. Think before you speak. Proverbs 14 verse 15. Sometimes the lack of discretion is the result of being influenced by someone else's lack of discretion, and that leads to gossip. Someone tells you something about somebody or a situation, and as a pastor, I can tell you, I can give you all kinds of examples of how real this is, but I won't. You hear someone tells you about some situation or some person, and you take everything they say as, well, that's the way it is. And they're upset and they're mad, and so guess what? I am too. And I'm going to have to tell someone else about it. I'm going to tell them what I know. Third hand, but I know it. Saints, that's called gossip. It's not discretion. Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Now, when someone tells me something, I give them the benefit of the doubt that it's true, or at least that they believe it's true. I try to give everyone that benefit of the doubt, but I never accept it without finding out whether it's true or not. And that's if it's any of my business at all. As a pastor, when there's something in the congregation, yeah, that's my business. I need to investigate. Is that true? But a lot of times, things that we hear from others, it's really none of our business. So why should we repeat it as if we know something? That's a lack of prudence. It's a lack of discretion. The phrase that's translated considers well in that verse, it means to stop and find the facts, if it's any of your business. And sometimes it is. Give the person that told you that the benefit of the doubt that, well, okay, that it may be true and they believe it's true, but I'm just not going to repeat it as if it's true until I find out the facts that I need to find out. For what reason? So I can know it? No. That God might be glorified in whatever the situation is. If I can help, I want to be that instrument. If I can't, there's no reason for me to be involved. That's discretion. Proverbs 18:17. Do you see how important this virtue really is in the life of the believer? We could avoid so many problems in our lives if we would be prudent. And for anyone who's curious, I have no present specific individual or situation in mind as I give this lesson. So everyone can take a deep breath. Often when I preach things like this, Brother Doug, you shouldn't be preaching to me like that. Well, first I'm preaching to me. And then if it's the Word of God and you're a child of God, it applies to you whether you like it or not. And the same is true for me. Proverbs 18:17. I have found this to be true. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. I've often had people come to me and tell me, this is the way it is, and this is what so-and-so did, this is what they said, and, wow, that sounds convincing. It must have happened that way. And in that person's mind, it probably did. I give them the benefit of the doubt. They're not just bold-faced lying to me, although that happens too. But don't just take it at face value. The neighbor comes and explains something different, a different aspect. So a lot of times the disagreements that we have among ourselves, it's really, more often than not, a misunderstanding. Oh, there are times when people just want to be mean and malicious, and that happens, yes, I understand. But a lot of times it's just a lot of misunderstanding. Well, this is not what they said. I know this is what you perceived, but that's not what was meant. This is all part of discretion that God wants to change and develop in us. The Holy Spirit knows all things from the beginning to the end. And so if we will look to him to do this work in us, he'll make us discreet. He'll make us prudent. It's just a change that will take place, and you'll be surprised. I hope that you are surprised when God begins to develop this in you. Naturally, you may be one of those people that just, you immediately respond and pop off whatever thought comes into your head. That's what you're going to throw out there. That may be your tendency. But little by little, when you make this a desire of your heart, Lord, change me, you'll be surprised that in situations where normally you would just pop off, that there's a control there, self-controlled, although it's not self. It's the Holy Spirit saying, let's stop and think about this first. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to give you words to respond. I'm not saying that you just walk through life with your mouth closed. Not at all. Our words are to be silver and gold. They're to be priceless. But if they're going to be priceless, we can't cheapen them with our own carnal thoughts and reactions. Let's close with Romans 8, verses 12 to 14. Romans 8, 12 to 14. The Holy Spirit can do this work in you. No matter what your personality is, no matter what your failures have been in the past, the Holy Spirit is able, if you're willing. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, to do what we've always done, to say what we've always said, the way we've always said it and done it. No, we have no debt to that sinful, fallen nature. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. A lot of ways that we can die. Death to our testimony, to our spiritual fruit. Sometimes it even leads to natural death, premature. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, the mature one. I want that to be said of me. I want a proven character, but it's a daily dependence on the Lord to make my character what it needs to be. We'll close there this morning. Let's have song in closing.